Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 67, recorded Wednesday, September 24th, 2008. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on this edition of the Travel Commons Podcast: electronic schadenfreude, and after a month with an iPhone. Well, this week coming to you today, this evening actually, from the Travel Commons studios outside of Chicago, Illinois, no exotic travel. This time, no soirees out to Asia, just, you know, the usual up and backs to the East Coast, New York mostly, with a side trip to Washington, D.C. And, you know, I'll tell you, that side trip had a, well, fun bit of serendipity involved. I was in New York that Tuesday. I had lunch with a client, was heading down to D.C. for a dinner, and I don't know, for some reason, I just didn't want to hassle with LaGuardia in the shuttle and National Airport that day. You know, there wasn't anything in particular. My flight out the night before hadn't been particularly bad, just sort of the normal O'Hare stuff. I don't know. I think sometimes just the amount of hassle with air travel just starts to fill your patience cup. And, you know, every once in a while, it just overflows. And that was me that Tuesday afternoon. I just did not want to go to the airport. Lucky for me, I had tried to set up some meetings that afternoon, but everything fell through. So I really didn't have anything pressing to be, you know, causing me to be either in New York or D.C. So rather than schlep out to LaGuardia, I caught a cab straight across Manhattan to Penn Station and took the Amtrak Acela Express down to D.C. Now, Acela, A-C-L-A, I'm sure I've mispronounced that. I liked that a whole lot better when they called it the Metroliner. But anyhow, you know, I'll tell you, it's not that Penn Station is some sort of travel nirvana. But there's no x-ray checkpoint, no taking off your shoes, no TSA. Just queue up, go down the escalator, and get on the train. And once on the train, you can plug your PC into a regular 110 outlet, no need for a fancy adapter. And once out from underneath the train station, you can use your mobile phone to your heart's content, provided that you haven't somehow parked yourself in the quiet car. Well, anyhow, I settled into my seat, was catching up on a couple of calls, and news flashes started vibrating across my BlackBerry. It was the day the FAA's traffic tracking system crashed, leaving controllers to manually track planes delaying flights up and down the East Coast all the way back to Chicago. And here I am, because I had a little, I don't know, travel tantrum, I'm gliding down to D.C. rather than fuming in the Marine Terminal. I'll tell you, as many people have told me, it's better to be lucky than to be good. Following up, you know, lots of good comments on the website. In the last episode, in Travel Commons number 66, I talked about Sean O'Neill's nice article investigating the methodology of the 12,000 lost laptops a week study. Well, it turns out the link that I gave out was a splog, a spam blog that had sort of hoovered up his content and was displaying it looking for Google AdWord hits. I picked it up because that splog had also picked up the article's link, the original article's link back to the Travel Commons website. Turns out that Sean's a Travel Commons listener, and he left a comment on the website with the correct link at budgettravel.com. So I've corrected the link in the episode 66 show notes if you want to see Sean's real picture and real landing page. Lori Drummond, another longtime Travel Commons listener, left this story on the site. Mark, she says, I can't believe that I have not shared my tale of woe. I'm a new entrant into the Road Warrior world, and I've been flying every day, every week. Sorry, Lori, didn't mean to make that more difficult. Every week since May. In June, my laptop was stolen out of my gate-checked bag. Yes, I know I'm an idiot, but nonetheless, here's the story. We were waiting out storm delays in Richmond and Atlanta, and the flight times kept changing. We were told to stay near the gate in the event that, you know, we could depart at any time. Suddenly, we get the call to come to the gate, forget seat assignments, just get on the plane. It was a Canada Air regional flight. I had just bought my new roller laptop bag and assumed it would fit in the overhead bins. As I boarded, one of the gate crew grabbed my bag from me, telling me it wouldn't fit, and gave me a bag tag. For one second, I thought, shouldn't I grab my laptop? But then I foolishly reasoned that we were rushing and nothing could happen with it. Especially in Atlanta, I'd be standing right by the plane to pick it up. Well, I got off the plane in Atlanta and saw my bag get handed off the plane. I picked it up instantly, knowing it was lighter, looked down to see it was zipped open. It was late. It was raining. I knew my next leg was delayed or canceled, and I tried really hard not to cry while standing on that rainy tarmac. I yelled at the gate people that I wanted a supervisor immediately, but they ignored my request. I went inside, and Atlanta was just in complete pandemonium with flight delays and cancellations. Is it ever any other way? Well, I filed my paperwork and cooled my heels a couple of days. Then I decided to play hardball. So I called Richmond. I told them that they had criminals working for them and that I intended to call the police to file a police report when I got off my flight next week. A day later, I got a call from Delta saying that they could not give me any details, but that they were investigating my complaint and that I would be reimbursed for the laptop. For me, I'm taking responsibility for knowing that I did something really, really that I shouldn't have done. And I never expected compensation. But for everyone else who flies out of Richmond, I wanted them to know that someone somewhere was going to check this complaint out. And I bought locks that I lock after I pass through security, but I don't leave my laptop in my gate-checked bag either. I still worry about what I do leave in there, but I'm not sure how I've resolved this any other way. You know, it was frustrating to feel so out of control. So this sophomore road warrior learned a tough lesson that day. Well, Lori, thanks for that story. That's a great story. It's a great lesson, and I'm glad it came out and it worked out for you. You know, a couple of weeks, Lori, after you posted your story, I spotted a story in the Wall Street Journal about the Queens, New York district attorney charging two American Airlines luggage handlers in JFK with stealing 925 pieces of jewelry worth $280,000 from the checked suitcase of a jewelry dealer bound for L.A. Now, you know, while loading the baggage, one handler allegedly picked up a bag and said, "Wow, that's a heavy bag. I think I have a good find." His supervisor allegedly came over, opened the bag, and pulled out envelopes full of jewelry. Both handlers face up to 15 years in prison. Now, let's look at these two stories. The American Airlines story just makes you scratch your head and go, huh? I mean, I understand that a bag that can hold 925 pieces of jewelry is probably a bit too big for the overhead compartment. However, you'd think that the guy would have locked those valuables up in something, I don't know, like one of those flight-proof gun cases that they sell, and then request an in-person TSA inspection before locking it up tight. I mean, you know, and that's what people who ship in rifles or fly with rifles do. Now, by the way, this in no way justifies the theft, but, you know, I don't think you want to, sort of obliviously tempt fate or the many people who come in contact with such a valuable bag, gate agents, porters, baggage handlers, or TSA employees. Now, what's unique about Lori's story is that by gate-checking her bag, there were only a few employees who had the opportunity to steal her laptop. I'm glad Lori took such an aggressive stand with Delta. That approach probably was the main reason she received reimbursement. Now, I hope she had her data backed up. I'll tell you, after going through those two stories, I'm thinking that those sort of shrink wrap your luggage services that I've seen overseas in places like London and Cape Town, South Africa, aren't such a silly idea after all. Hey, if you have a story, a link, a comment, the voice of the traveler, send it along, MP3, text, carrier pigeon, whatever it takes, the email address, comments@travelcommons.com, TRAVELCOMMONS, or you can post them on the website at travelcommons.com. So the first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is electronic schadenfreude. You know, I'm not a big language maven. I mean, I managed to gut my way through 2 years of Spanish in high school. But you gotta love German for having, you know, a single word that captures a complex emotion. Schadenfreude, sort of the German words for damage and joy smashed together, is defined as the pleasure or enjoyment taken from the misfortune of someone else. Now, in travel, I'm not sure that it's completely about enjoying the misfortunes of others as much as it is the question of, did I make the right decision? As in, did I get in before my original flight? Lots of words there that I'm not sure are completely clear. Here's an example. Last month, in August, I was running between Chicago and Philadelphia for a couple of weeks straight, and every one of those flights was delayed. Indeed, I had a four-week run in August where every United flight I took was delayed. I mean, I flipped over to Southwestern American just to break the streak. So anyhow, on this day, I'm heading to O'Hare for my flight to Philadelphia. Traffic on the Kennedy Expressway was light, and I actually got to O'Hare early. I hop onto the earlier flight. One of the perks with United's 1K is the ability to confirm same-day shifts in itinerary without paying a change fee. So in this case, to take the earlier flight, I didn't have to pay a $150 change fee or idle around the gate for the standby list and hope for a middle seat. Instead, I just press a few virtual buttons on the self-service kiosk and presto, I have an exit row aisle seat on the earlier flight. Things are going good. Too good? Yep. We're on the plane, all in our places, with bright, shining faces, and nothing happens. You know, it's funny how you come around to the sense that something's not quite right. You know, one of the perks of frequent flyer status is the pre-board. You get on, you slam your bag into the overhead, you pull out the USA Today, you shove your briefcase under the seat in front of you, find your seatbelt, and then start flipping through the paper while everybody else gets on. Usually it's rush, 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 get everyone on. The flight attendants announcing that it's boarding time, rushing through the exit row, verbal confirmations, yes, 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 looking over everyone's shoulder to make sure they've shut down their PCs. So when that din, that noise, that activity dies down, when we're sitting there quietly, not moving, the sense comes over you. It sort of creeps up on you that something's not quite right. And so it was on this flight. Departure time came and went, and they still didn't shut the door. Finally, the captain comes on. Seems that there's something wrong with the tire. The tire is broke. And maintenance is looking at it to determine if it can be fixed. Now, there's an intonation that was interesting. If it can't be fixed, what do we do? I look at my watch. My original flight, the later one that I'd left behind for this one, hadn't started boarding yet. I call United's 1K line. There are still seats on that flight. Good. I have an alternative. The update time comes and it goes. Finally, we hear the pilot key the mic. We're still waiting on the maintenance guys. I look at my watch. That's it. I redial United while I stand up to get my bag. I'm not sure if they'll fly this plane, but I'm sure that I'll miss my only other option if I don't get going now. The rest of the passengers watch me a bit incredulously as I get off the plane. But did I make the right decision? You know, you never used to know, but now with BlackBerries and iPhones and the stripped-down websites that airlines have designed for them, United's is called UA2Go, the number two, and Americans is Americans' mobile site is called mobileaa.com. It's easy to tell if you are right to leave the rest of the passengers behind. Electronic Schadenfreude, their misfortune validates my travel prowess. After I park myself in the new plane, the one without the broken tire, I whip up my iPhone and start pinging the United website. Their mobile site helpfully gives the status of the flight I just walked off of. I refresh the browser every 3 minutes or so. It hasn't left yet. You know, you see this same behavior when flights land. The wheels touch the ground and half the plane lights up their smartphones. I'll tell you, last December, I'd skipped out of a lunch in Connecticut ahead of a big snowstorm to catch an earlier flight home from LaGuardia. When we touched down in O'Hare, I immediately checked the flight of my original status, 2-hour delay. Yes, I had made the right decision. Tough luck for the guys back in Terminal C eating stale Aubon pan sandwiches waiting for a gap in the squall line, but me, I was smart. So how about that flight to Philly? No news before I left because they'd stopped updating the website. So when we touch down in Philly, I whip out the iPhone while the pilot powers us to the gate. The earlier flight had landed 5 minutes before this flight. I'd made the wrong decision, but just by a little. And then I start to think. I rationalize this a bit. I'm sitting in seat 6C instead of 12D on the earlier flight, so I'm actually off the plane sooner. It's a tie. And, you know, I'm actually ahead because of the exercise I got sprinting down the concourse between the gates. You know, I'll tell you, this whole electronic Schadenfreude thing, things would be a lot easier if the airlines would just get all of their flights to land on time. The second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is after a month with an iPhone. I broke down last month and bought a 3G iPhone. Actually, I didn't break down as much as I finally just gave in. My son had been making do with a Razr with two broken screens. Now, think about that. That's quite a feat. And was desperately waiting for me to upgrade so he could get my Samsung. I liked the iPhone when it first came out last year. I mean, it's really the sort of the sharpest, most elegant smartphone out there. But the lack of 3G data speed was a killer. My BlackBerry runs on the Edge network, the 2G network that the first iPhone runs on. And while it's more ubiquitous, it's a pig. It's a lot slower. I mean, Edge is to 3G as dial-up is to DSL or cable modem speed. I mean, it is a complete order of magnitude, if not more. There's a couple of websites that you can run off the iPhone Safari browser that will test that will test your connection speed, and you can test it with Edge and you can test it with 3G. And the Edge speeds are tending to run, say, 50 kilobits a second. And the 3G speeds I'm getting are anywhere from 700 to 1,000 kilobits a second. Big, big difference. So to me, it just didn't make sense to have such a great portable internet device running on what in effect is dial-up speeds. And that's the main reason I upgraded, to get better portable internet access. My BlackBerry's okay. I like the full keyboard, but the Edge network is slow, and the built-in browser for the BlackBerry is, you know, it's kind of wonky. I mean, sometimes it'll take 5 minutes just sort of digesting a complex style sheet or running a script. Now, my Samsung was on AT&T's 3G network, and I had downloaded the Opera Mini browser on it, so that was pretty decent. But I'll tell you, typing anything in on a phone keypad, three presses of the 2 key for C, three on the 6 key for O, pause, then one more press on the 6 key for M. I didn't pause long enough. Well, you get the picture. The iPhone solved this problem and more. And after a month with my iPhone, let me spin through a couple of things that I like. First of all, I'm eliminating a device by combining the iPod and a phone. I mean, obviously, I drop my electronic device count by one, which is always good. However, because of something Apple did with their USB charging cord, I can't charge my iPhone with my BlackBerry USB charger and vice versa. So while I'm down one electronic device, I'm carrying one additional charger. Checking traffic. I thought that with the GPS functionality in the new iPhone, that I'd replaced my TomTom One GPS system, but that hasn't happened. The iPhone's Google Maps app just can't match the TomTom's turn-by-turn instructions. But what Google Maps does have is real-time traffic reporting. The iPhone GPS quickly locates me on Google Maps, and with the traffic congestion overlay displayed, I can glance at the screen and hopefully make the right street choice to avoid the red. Checking airline websites, very important, but I think I did all the confessing I wanted to do in the electronic Schadenfreude segment that we just walked out of, so enough said there. But the big thing here certainly is the App Store. Now, I have not bought an iPhone app yet. I scan the App Store's top 25 list of free apps whenever I'm connected to Wi-Fi, and here are a couple of the ones that I've downloaded and actually kept on my iPhone. The LinkedIn app is nice, connects up into my LinkedIn profile, which my son calls Facebook for old people. Airport Status is a nice app that gives quick access to U.S. airport delays, the ground stops, the delays, the weather problems. Twinkle is, I think, the best Twitter app for the iPhone. I like the way it uses the iPhone's location services to let you sort of listen in to what folks near you are Twittering, kind of like overhearing one side of a conversation at the airport bar. Solfree is a free solitaire game, and it's a complete time sink for me. Solitaire is sort of a zen thing for me. It helps me get through flight delays, and the Solfree one is a nice app, and like I said, it's free. And then there's White Noise. It's a ambient noise generator that I use when I sleep on planes. You know, even with the Bose noise-canceling headphones, some background noise still, you know, sort of creeps in. Maybe I sleep lighter as I get older, but having some low-volume white noise helps me sleep better. The White Noise app lets you choose your sound loop, beach waves, an air conditioner. I don't know, I like the Amazon sounds. I got it free, but it now costs 99 cents, and I think it's worth the price. The downsides? Well, the only big one is battery life. I'm definitely hunting for more outlets than I did with my Samsung. But, you know, I'll tell you, then again, I think about it, and the iPhone is really serving three purposes. I mean, it's a phone, it's an iPod, and it's a mobile browser. So, I don't know, I guess I shouldn't be shocked that I'm winding the battery down quicker than my Samsung. But, you know, searching for airport plugs to top off the battery before a long flight is definitely a necessary part of the iPhone experience. For those of you who have ponied up and gotten the new iPhone, how do you guys like it? Drop me a line at comments@travelcommons.com or post a comment on the website at travelcommons.com. Let me know your thoughts and let me know your favorite iPhone app. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 67. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. The bridge music is from a couple of sources, from the Podcast Music Network, music.podshow.com/confessionals, Bend and Not Break, and from The Frantic, Hollywood Homicide. And then from Donna Machacha, and Donna, if I've butchered your name, I apologize, the lead singer of Amplifico, a band that we've used on a couple of earlier Travel Commons episodes, a solo song, Rings and Fences, downloaded from her blog as part of her Demo a Week project. Check out the show notes, as always, for links. And of course, if you have a story, a thought, a comment, a gripe, the voice of the traveler, send them along. Text or MP3 file to comments, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com, or post them on our website at travelcommons.com. As always, thanks to everyone who's taken the time to send in emails, an audio file, or post comments on the website. Well, thanks for coming by, and until next month, take care. Thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Bye now.
On the road, life is hell. Strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing needs my mind, the warm woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing fine.